Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hello and welcome. This is Pastor Butch Paul, and you're listening to Financial Survival, and it is the 23rd day of August, 2023. Welcome to today's broadcast. As usual, we're in for, I think, for a good broadcast. The first 20 minutes, we get to listen to Wendy Wilson. She's not only pretty, she's smart, and she was sharing her information with us. I know you're going to enjoy about AI. I'm anxious to hear about this. Artificial intelligence. You know, I know a lot of people that probably benefit from that. But anyway, let's get into the metals. Metals had a good day today. Gold back up over 1900, up 1877 to 1917.20. Silver back over 24, up 89 cents to 24.32. Platinum's up 12 to 925.50. Palladium's up 25.70 to 1264.80. So metals had a good day. But so did the markets, apparently. Dow was up 191 to 34.479. NASDAQ was up 239 to 13.744. S&P was up 52 to 44.39. FTSE was up 1.12% to 18.226. The DAX was up 0.15% to 15.728. Nikkei was up 0.48 to 32.10. Hang Seng was up 0.31 to 17.845. So every market in the world today that we monitor was up, and so was metals. How about that? USDX was actually down 0.18 to 103.39. The 10-year yield was down 0.134 to 4194. And oil was down 0.77 cents to 82.58. Still above 80, obviously, and the price of gas keeps going up and up and up. And believe me, folks, fall's almost here. It's almost time for heating oil and natural gas. You will see prices go up a little bit higher for sure. So anyway, without any further ado, I want to bring up our guest, Wendy Wilson. And Wendy, welcome to the program.
Hello, Pastor Butch. Always great to be with you and all the listeners. I thought we'd touch base on some neurotech information that involves artificial intelligence today, because you've heard about the field of technology. It's kind of rippled through our medical science at an unprecedented pace. And we've also heard reports of brain chip devices that will help with neurological conditions. But is that all scientists are talking about? And what healthcare professionals are worried about. So I thought we'd check this out. There's a publication called Barron's, and they were writing about the field of neurotech. They said it's developing at, quote, warp speed. They said the advances are literally mind-blowing. So we have to use discernment if the advances in this area are going to have a dark side. So it is how they're going to be using this technology that can become a real problem. So helping the blind to see and the paralyzed to walk with technology is a good thing, but reading people's minds and controlling their thoughts and actions is not. And besides, the brain chips, they now have brain scans, and we are not talking about a CT or an MRI scan. They have technology now that's been developed to peek into the human brain with artificial intelligence. So critics for this kind of tech are saying there is really no mental privacy with it. So you know the technology is seriously probing when you have a UN science and cultural agency at Paris at a conference there insisting on, quote, ethical framework regarding human rights where this technology is concerned. Yes, when technology is far ahead of the current policy and laws, we have a real backlog of legislative red tape, and that is a problem because they're not regulated. They're not going to be controlled at that point. And, you know, if you go to Congress, I don't think Congress really understands half of the technology that's out there. Do you? Pastor Butch, I don't know where you went. Well, let's talk about
I'm right here, honey. I'm sorry. I was somebody else talking my other ear. I'm sorry, but I'm here.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, tell them to be quiet. So what we have here really is a medical technology that is seriously invading the human nervous system and connecting electronic devices to it. They're treating, of course, neurological conditions. That's one thing. But who is going to oversee the artificial intelligence role to not overstep ethical bounds and slide into mind reading? So how is this 5G also going to affect people that have implants like this? The algorithms, the artificial intelligence, this is all equipped with a learning platform, and even science can't explain or even predict the outcome. Here is a quote from an economic specialist in artificial intelligence, Mary Gaza Sequenri. She says, recently, neurotechnology has been supercharged by artificial intelligence algorithms, which can process and learn from data in ways never before possible. It's like putting neurotech on steroids, end of quote. What I've been reading is, you know, there's people that are sounding the alarms, but the people that are really into inventing artificial intelligence and new things here and there, their opinion is, let's just plug it in and see what happens. That's kind of their, you know, attitude. So science is always experimenting, and unfortunately, sometimes the price of exploration and advancements and development can bring unexpected and unwanted outcomes. Now, some professionals are sounding the alarm, but it's anyone that's in positions to do something about it, are they even listening? We're going back to Gabriela Ramos. She's Assistant Director of General Social and Human Services at the UN Science and Cultural Agency in Paris. She said, this convergence of neurotechnology and artificial intelligence has far-reaching and potentially harmful effects. We are on the path to a world in which algorithms will enable us to decode people's mental processes and directly manipulate the human brain mechanisms underlying their intentions, emotions, and decisions. Well, that's just a mouthful, I'm telling you. So what is on their mind here? Well, according to the reports, this work to read people's minds has been ongoing, and the research is not just happening in Europe, but also in the United States. So it started out using brain MRI scans along with artificial intelligence to gather small components of what people were thinking and translate them into words. This type of work was reported in May 2023, and Elon Musk's Neuralink received approval to test brain implants on humans in May of 2023. So according to Musk, he wants humans to be able to compete with artificial intelligence, and this July it started the artificial intelligence company he calls xAI. You probably heard about it.
Oh, yes. You know, this stuff's getting on the verge of being scary.
It is. It's already here. I mean, my skin crawls when I read a lot of these reports. Now, Audrey Azoulay, she's a director general at UNESCEO. That's that UN science cultural place. She says neurotechnology could help solve many health issues, but it could also access and manipulate people's brains, process information about their identities, and even their emotions. It could threaten our rights to human dignity, freedom of thought, and privacy. There is an urgent need to establish a common ethical framework at the international level, as the UN Science and Cultural Agency has done for artificial intelligence. So they're pushing for regulations, but I don't see much happening there. So it's kind of ripe for the picking, actually. It's all about money. That's what this is.
It is about money. Everything about money. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Even that Maui tragedy. That, you know what that was about?
Yes.
With the fires. Absolutely. That was about real estate and ripping it off. So money is being poured into this field of neurotech, and the whole thing is really ripe for abuse. So just think of the big box stores and tech stores playing with people's thoughts and emotions to get them to purchase certain products. So governments would love to be able to maneuver their enemies right off a bridge and call it a suicide. And, you know, I'm sure it can, you know, we can write a bunch of stuff here. Artificial intelligence can write this suicide note even. So politicians would love to influence their constituents and control votes without direct influence on voting machines. So what about education? Think about this. Will the children of the future only need to plug their brain into AI and get a degree? Well, here's a few quotes. This is from the UN Cultural Agency. They said this: investment in neurotech companies increased by 22 times from 2010 to 2020, rising to $33.2 billion. They go on to say the number of patients for neurotech devices doubled between 2015 and 2020, with the UN or the United States accounting for nearly half of those patients worldwide. And then they said the neurotech devices market is projected to reach $24.2 billion by 2027. So according to the publication Be In Crypto, how artificial intelligence can read your brain is sort of like the cryptographers, the code breakers in World War II. Remember them?
Oh, yes, yes.
Okay, so all artificial intelligence interprets what you are thinking based on your brain's electrical signal. And there are five types of brain waves the artificial intelligence can monitor and decode. So some people may think all this neurotech is amazing and that they have images of bringing superheroes to life. But what if this thing gets kind of out of hand and it forces people, you know, into slavery? Scientists built their own mind-reading devices using AI technology, algorithms, and something called a C-hat box. It's a precursor to GPT-4. I don't know if that makes any sense. It's technical stuff. So here's a quote from Be In Crypto publication. They said, yet the researchers cautioned that future developments might enable such technologies to bypass the need for voluntary cooperation. So imagine harvesting personal data without consent, instances of artificial intelligence being used to read and manipulate individuals without informed consent are already being done. It's a reality right now. What do you think of that?
That doesn't surprise me. You know, they've been talking about this for many, many years. And you remember the show Minority Report?
Yeah.
Okay. There you are. Mm-hmm. I mean, they told the future back then. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, we're in this situation where, you know, things are moving along at a faster clip, and we don't even know half of it. Okay, so just like fires being created by lasers from satellites, you know, and stuff like that, to control and manipulate markets and people. I mean, those poor people in Maui are, you know, homeless right now.
They are.
It's all because there were some select wealthy people, I understand. It could be wrong, but they wanted this property on Maui, and the people didn't want to sell it, so they burned them out instead. That's pretty...
I know a lot of people think, well, not our oldies, but a lot of people think, well, you're just a conspiracy theorist. You can't prove
that. I know.
It's really odd. The buildings around plants and trees, the plants and trees never burned. The buildings literally melted to the ground in the metal, and cars did too. That's amazing.
Yeah, so when you got plant life that's not touched, that's not a normal fire, is it?
No, it is not.
I watched, I think, a video. Somebody took it on their phone where they watched this beam come down and just take out a whole block at night. This was at night, and you could hear the guy saying, "That's crazy." Well, yeah, that's a satellite, honey. So you know, in artificial intelligence is in everything now. You can see it online. People are advertising. Let us do your marketing for you. We have artificial intelligence programs that can write your ads for you. And I'm thinking to myself, no, thank you. I mean, you got no control over that. And then all of a sudden, you can have an issue, a liability issue, and who are you going to call?
That's right.
You know?
Who are you going to blame?
Right. The other thing that we talked about off air, and I think we could fit it in just a few minutes if we got a few minutes here, is they're building artificial intelligence into a lot of medical procedures like X-rays. So your doctors that are going to be reading X-rays and MRIs, they're going to be replaced by artificial intelligence because these doctors trained or helped train the program for this artificial intelligence, and they don't realize they're going to be out of a job because the program did a better job of reading X-rays than they did. So what they're doing with these algorithms that are in your medical software programs is they're building in a second opinion. You know, when you get an opinion from a doctor, well, let me go see another doctor and get a second opinion. Well, your second opinion is going to be artificial intelligence. That's what it is. Medical science is really infatuated with artificial intelligence, and they're building algorithms to facilitate medical doctor tasks. This was a study July 2023 from Monash University Research Facility in Melbourne, Victoria, Australia. Their facility is an engineering facility there. And they have trained this artificial intelligence to read patient studies. They designed this new algorithm regarding medical imaging studies to kind of mimic a radiologist who reads the X-rays, you know, and gives a report. So additionally, the algorithm offers the equivalent of a second opinion, and this study did get published in the Journal of Nature Medicine Intelligence. So when human doctors read imaging studies, what they do, Pastor Butch, is they put notes on the actual study. They write little notes up there, much like a builder who makes a note on a blueprint. However, these are called labeled studies in healthcare, which with the notes on them. And by the way, those did not get scanned into the artificial intelligence system. So AI is having to learn what radiologists know without those labeling scans. So they're only going to get some of the information, not all of it. That's a problem.
Oh, my.
Okay.
No, my.
So you might want to ask, well, how does the second opinion work? Well, the scientists designed the algorithm into two components and what they call dual view. So this is where one part of the AI system mimics how the radiologist reads a medical image, and the other part judges the quality of the artificial intelligence-generated scan and compares them against a limited database of scans that radiologists provided. So that's how that's working. Now, I mean, I'm sorry. I just think they're going to be missing out on expertise that some medical doctors have. You know, they come across a rare case, for instance, and, you know, this kind of reminds me of this case I had, you know, 10 years ago. That's not going to be in AI. It's just not going to be there. Here is what Monash University Research Facility said. This was Hamishi Paris. He's an engineer there. He says, traditionally, radiologists and other medical experts annotate or label a medical scan by handwritten highlighted specific areas of interest, such as tumors and other lesions. So these labels provide guidance or supervision for training, and that's not what they're getting on artificial intelligence because it can't be picked up, apparently, with a handwritten note or something. So they're using AI, and let me just ask you, why are they going to use AI?
What's about control?
Well, and it's about saving money.
Well, it's about saving money, and it's also about who cares if you die.
Well, this is true, because who are you going to sue?
That's right.
So,
you're down by the last 30 seconds.
Okay, we just have a new website we launched on Tuesday, so check it out, thepowerherbs.com. Or request our free catalog, call 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. Give us a call if you have questions on herbs. That will empower you.
Wendy, as usual, you knocked it out of the park. Thanks a lot for being with us.
You're welcome. Talk soon.
I'll talk to you soon, sweetheart. Folks, back at the break with our boss, Millie Seastrom. A lot more talk about it. Don't go away.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
All righty, folks, we are back, and we're joined by Miss Melody Seastrom right now. You know, she happens to be the one that runs this broadcast and Discount Gold and Silver. She's a lady that you can count on to be honest, and I mean totally honest, and give you the best deal possible anywhere. And if you don't believe me, folks, compare prices with everybody else. Just compare and see. 800-375-4188. And Melody, the metals had a good day today. Gold back over 1900 a day. Silver's up quite a bit. Platinum and palladium was up, so yeah, it's been a good day.
It is a good day. It is a good day for the precious metals, but long-term fundamentals are there for a good showing. And again, folks, I get these calls all the time, but this was a fresh one right before here the program. Gentlemen bought earlier in this year from a TV advertiser. And he went into a precious metals IRA, which we do here at Discount Gold and Silver. He went into and he bought the metals in March, bought 100 grand. And when he got his first quarterly statement, it's down to 49,000.
Wow.
So I didn't want to ruin his. So I'm looking at the paperwork. He's going to send them to me, and I'll compare it to what my prices would have been and what he could have purchased and how much more commission that he paid. And I know sometimes, and again, you know, I don't want to get in trouble and so forth, but some of those online, not online, but the TV advertisers, their commissions are 40%, 50%, 30%. I mean, they're huge, 30, 40, 50% commissions. They're huge. So,
wow.
Yeah, if you put in 100 grand, you're on your next statement, and they'll whack you on these IRAs. Because the thing of it is, an IRA, because when the next statement comes out, they'll base it on spot price. That's why you're only allowed to have bullion in in the IRAs. So you can really see what they whacked the customers. And
but that is such a low thing to do to anybody.
It's very common on those online. I'm not saying they all do. I'm not saying they all do. And so, but from my experience and all of the portfolios that I've seen and that I had to reprice and give some kind of hope to the people who are feeling, I mean, hey, you just lost 50% of your money.
Man, that's tough.
That's a hard pill to swallow. And, you know, but, you know, I've seen portfolios with $200,000 and they push a lot of silver. $200,000. Next statement is $100,000. Because they sell them all the goofy product and then they work those up. But then when you sell it back, all you're going to get is market price. So, it really gives... I mean, it's hard to say there's how many good dealers are out there. There's a lot of dealers out there where you're going to get your product, but that doesn't mean they're good. They don't want to take the time to, and things do go up and down. Sometimes things don't take off as much as some other things. That's how markets work. But there is a big, big difference when you're comparing prices. So the best thing that you can always do is compare prices. And so anyway, 1-800-375-4188. Before you get into your news, I just want to say this. Landlords with $1.2 trillion of debt face rising default risks. We talked about this once before. The U.S. commercial real estate is potentially troubled because it's highly leveraged and property values are falling. Now, this was according to a Newmark Group, Inc., and that's about $1.2 trillion of debt, U.S. commercial real estate. Offices are the biggest near-term problem. No wonder Goldman Sachs wants people to come back to work, to fill them up. We said this was going to happen a long time ago when people weren't coming back to work. What are they going to do with all these offices? Now we know they're going to turn them into... apartments for the homeless, but anyway, offices are the biggest near-term problem, accounting for more than half of the $626 billion of risk debt that's set to mature by the end of 2025. Office values have tumbled 31% from a peak in March of 2022, and that was when the Federal Reserve started raising interest rates. So there's big concerns out there mounting that defaults will increase the property values more. Costs are going to rise for landlords who need to refinance at higher interest rates. That's what I've been saying all along. All of these multinational corporations that are carrying all this debt, that stuff rolls over and they have to refinance. And now they have to go to higher rates and they're servicing. Over-leveraged owners are often more motivated to stop payments and sink money into buildings with diminished prospects for return. Blackstone Inc., Brookfield Core, and Goldman Sachs are among investors that have defaulted or relinquished offices to lenders this year. They're going to have various incentives to hand back the keys to lenders. So it's coming. Just another part of the puzzle. And so I think that's a very important story and one that we should follow, Butch.
Another part of the takedown of the American society and economy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what better place to start building sustainable communities, Melody?
Yeah. Exactly.
There's ready-made apartments right there.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, it all comes together. They
what
have
a coincidence,
plans.
Huh?
They
what
have
a coincidence.
Plans, but yeah, but Butch, they have plans.
Sure.
They always have plans because they know how to take care. They know how to benefit from a crisis. So they make plans and they lobby to push these various laws so that they can go in there and scoop all this stuff up. And that's why that's why people get upset with me. But that's why I believe that, yeah, there should be a death tax for these ultra wealthy people. They take advantage. That's how they get ultra wealthy. They take advantage of the taxpayers the incentives that they get from government and subsidies and everything else, why shouldn't they give some of it back when they die?
I totally agree. Totally agree. And, you know, this article we're reading to start off with here may tie somewhat in this. I'm sure people already saw this. Dystopian. Some U.S. cities consider zero beef, zero dairy, and zero cars. I think you would call that a 15-minute city or sustainable community. And I think we're well on our way to seeing it. The same way, I'm sure, with Maui. They want their property cheap. They got plans for it. So there you go. Let's burn them out. But let's look at this article, because I think this is important. This is by Bob Unruh and WorldNet Daily News. The leftists at the World Economic Forum arrogantly stated in 2016 video that by 2030, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. Now it seems that a list of American cities is actively pursuing that ideology. Now I know that this seems so out of it, that how would any entity, any city, any community ever think about going this direction? Because they're run by people that want to go in this direction, and the masses of people that live there probably will stay quiet and go along with it. But anyway, now it seems that a list of American cities is actively pursuing that ideology with their memberships in the C40 Cities Climate Leadership Group, which is calling for vast new restrictions on residents, including consumption of zero beef, zero dairy, zero private vehicles, and only 3 new clothing items per person per year. I hope it's not underwear. But anyway, a report by Evita Duffy Alfonso at the Federalist explains the new ideology. All these policy proposals appear even more unreasonable and illogical when we actually evaluate that data. According to the International Disaster Database, deaths related to extreme heat, floods, storms, and droughts have plummeted as CO2 emissions have risen. The fossil fuel economy has provided billions of people with heating, air conditioning, weather warming systems, massive irrigation, and durable buildings. Ultimately, the climate coalition's goals are inherently anti-human. People generally need meat and the protein provides to flourish. Banning meat and dairy, restricting calories, genetically altering the human body, and impoverishing the masses will hurt the planet and people. More likely than not, it will do more than hurt people. It will kill many of them. I think that's also part of the plan, folks. The report identified the American cities that are part of the C40. Now, listen to this, folks. Some of them may surprise you. So the American cities that are part of the C40 organization, and we'll start with Austin, Texas, of course, Boston, Chicago, Houston, Los Angeles, Miami, New Orleans, New York City, Philadelphia, Phoenix, Portland, San Francisco, Washington, D.C., and Seattle. The bureaucracy is funded largely. Funded by Democrat billionaire Michael Bloomberg, and actually includes nearly 100 cities worldwide. WEF-linked bioethicist Dr. Matthew Lael even has suggested that humans be genetically modified to be allergic to meat and to be smaller to consume fewer resources. This is a for real story, folks. This is not made up. This is not science fiction. This happens as we speak. And surely you can see why they're going to be closing down office buildings to build this. These are prefab homes for folks who are going to live there in 15-minute cities. Imagine that. Melody, I thought that was a pretty powerful article.
Certainly is. And, you know, hey, we know there's a group of people. They're thinking. It's all about control. We were talking about an article yesterday about these billionaires, the 4 main billionaires that really do change anything, and they work together. You know, it's not about competing. It's not about being the best company out there and so forth. They get all these government contracts, and it's you know, we remember, Butch, when you had all these in the 90s, when you had all these tech companies build all these campuses, that was the beginning of it. That was the conditioning of people, especially the youth, making them live on campuses to work and everything. I mean, it's all a conditioning of, and they all go after the youth. They all want the youth.
Well, what do you
because
think?
Because they can control their minds.
When they draft people, they draft youth. I was 19 when I went in. Why do you think?
Yeah.
Because we're dumber than rocks yet. We're greener than a green bean. We don't know what's going on.
Yep.
That's a fact. And what better way to build a fairly liberal and loose concentration camps? What an idea. Make the people like it. At what Klaus Schwab said they would. There you go.
Well, you know what, Butch? A lot of people have different opinions on this and so forth, but I have a lady customer where they were in Germany, and she says, nobody rounded us up. She said her father and family, they were promised things. They were promised jobs. And they boarded those trains on their own because they were promised these things. And of course, we all know what happened. And so it's a lot of what's going on today, too. People are promised things and people buy into it from the governments. And, you know, nobody's going to give you something for nothing. And so,
well, I guess when you boil right down to the nitty gritty, it's how much will you sell your freedom for?
Yeah.
So it boils down to. And we pretty much sold ours for a handout. I know that Esau sold his for a bowl of porridge in the Bible. We've sold ours for food stamps and Social Security and Medicaid, Medicare, housing. We got more out of ours, but we sold ours nonetheless.
True.
And as Esau cried to get it back, he cried. We're doing the same thing, folks. She ain't going to get it back. It's too late. But anyway, housing market affordability is worse now than at the height of the housing bubble in 2006. On Monday, the average 30-year fixed mortgage rate was 7.48%, marking the highest level since the year 2000. Even prior to this recent surge in mortgage rates, housing affordability, as monitored by the Atlanta Fed, has already deteriorated beyond the level seen as the housing bubble's peak in 2006. Once this latest mortgage rate surge is factored in, August 2023 will become the worst month for housing affordability this century. The journey to this predicament can be traced back to last year's sharp rise in mortgage rates, which escalated from 3% to over 7%. That rate surge, coupled with the pandemic housing boom, pushing U.S. home prices up over 40% in just over 2 years, deteriorating housing affordability across the nation. The average median home price now in this country, folks, is $408,000. The average median price of a home is $408,000. Melody, that's huge. That is absolutely huge.
It is. We talked about this yesterday. It is huge. I mean, could you imagine, Butch? Well, when I was first getting my job and what we're... that everybody would be living in a quarter of $1.5 million home.
I couldn't have done it. I couldn't have done it. No way I could have done it. So why not put us in a sustainable community? Rent's cheap.
Yeah.
Everything you need right there at hand. Don't need a car. Let's talk about money you save. Gee. And security? Oh, my, they'd be watching you all the time.
Yep.
Gee, what a trade-off. Wow. New York City Mayor Eric Adams has opened a migrant mega camp on Randall's Island where school children's soccer fields will be disrupted as a result. The housing project is expected to cost city taxpayers about $20 million a month. Oh, my gosh. On Sunday, Adams' office began filling up the newly built migrant camp with a single adult male border crossers and legal aliens who have arrived in the sanctuary city from the United States-Mexico border. According to the New York Post, by the end of Monday, there will be at least 150 border crossers and illegal aliens at the migrant camp. City officials have the capacity to put some 3,000 single adult male migrants in the camp at a massive $20 million per month cost to taxpayers. We're taking away from people who are real New Yorkers, a Queens woman told the Post. I was born here on the Lower East Side, and you're telling me that they come first? How is that? I pay my tax money, federal, local, all that beautifulness, and my children don't get to enjoy New York. Wow. No wonder she's mad and angry. I would be too.
I believe I hear the music, Butch. That means we're going into a break. We'll be right back.
Well, I'm standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona. It's such a fine sight to see. It's a girl, my lord, in a flatbed Ford, slowing down to take a look at me. Come on, baby.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, Butch, it's your day. You bring us back.
No, you could have brought back in. I was enjoying some listening to you. But okay,
oh, you
we
were?
Are
oh, okay.
back.
Oh, okay.
We are back. Whatever. You blew it now. I'm back.
I blew it. Hey, well, during the break, I don't know if the listeners knew, but that the Rosaviatsiya, the Russian Aviation Authority, has confirmed that Russian mercenary chief Evgeny Prigozhin and Wagner chief commander Dmitry Yutkin were on board the crash Embraer plane. This is from Reuters. Guardian correspondent Sauer also reported or tweeted the latest news. The Wagner group also wrote on its Telegram channel that he died as a result of the actions of traitors to Russia, but even in hell, he will be the best glory to Russia. And this is what somebody said about that guy. But anyway, so that's kind of interesting news. The mercenary that was leading the march into Moscow and don't know where he was flying to. Someone said that there was multiple planes that had multiple had his name as a passenger to mix up so no one knew exactly where he was going. So that's a possibility, and maybe it really wasn't him, but I guess you have to take it for truth right now that someone got even with him.
Well, I tell you, when you get missing in political hierarchies like that, that you know, that you never know what's going to happen.
Yep.
You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And back to good old New York and the illegals. Have pity, no tent city. A Guardian Angels leader, Curtis Silva, arrested twice while protesting migrants in New York City. Former New York City mayor candidate and Guardian Angels leader, Curtis Silva, I don't know how it's pronounced, was arrested twice last week for protesting Mayor Eric Adams' decision, now pay attention, folks, to evacuate an elderly assisted living facility for the purpose of housing migrants coming across the southern border. Isn't that just as sweet and spaceful as that can be? Video footage from LLN NYC shows Curtis Slawa being arrested for the second time last week after giving an impassioned speech in front of hundreds of people who, in an act of his civil disobedience, blockaded the street. We need to take care of Americans first. Migrants, illegals, to the back of the line, Selwa said, according to Fox News Digital. Why did these legal aliens get to jump the queue and jump to the top in front of the line? Curtis Slawa calls for action to keep Eric Adams from turning Staten Island into a sanctuary city. Today, I want you to join me in the act of civil disobedience. When I finish, we're going to block the street. Line up behind me. Slawa held the protest Sunday in front of Midland Beach Migrant Shelter on Staten Island, which used to be Midland Beach Senior Citizen Home. What do you think, Melody?
It's sad and disgusting and shameless. They should be ashamed of themselves.
They really should be. They have no conscience.
No.
They have no conscience.
Tonight you had the Republican debate. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how, of course, they're all going to say, oh, yeah, we're going to protect the border. My question isn't about closing the border. My question is, what are these people going to do now? Where are they going to work? Okay, they're here. Where are they going to work?
You gonna ship
people
them all
can't
back?
People can't find people to work now. Do you think they're going to be qualified?
No.
So what are they going to do here?
That's a good question. Where are they going to put them? That's going to be a question to be asked. So where are you going to put the millions that are already here illegally?
Yeah, what are they going to do? Where are they going to work?
You're going to ship them back across the border, maybe.
You think?
Anyway,
they don't even know where they're at.
Ain't that the truth? Oh, my.
That's what a question I want to know, you know, from these Republican politicians standing on stage. So anyway.
Well, overwhelming majority of New York voters call migrant flood a serious problem. Well, I wonder if they really mean that. Overwhelming majority of New York voters have believed mass immigration, now flooding the state, is a serious problem, a senior college poll released Tuesday reveals. New Yorkers, including huge majorities Democrats, Republicans, Independents, and upstaters and downstaters, overwhelmingly say that the recent influx of migrants to New York is a serious problem for the state. The poll found 82% of voters found the migrant situation that has plagued the state since May to be a serious problem, with a slim majority, 54%, calling it very serious. Also, a majority of 58% say New Yorkers have already done enough and should now work to slow the flow of migrants, the poll found. A plurality of voters also say migrants resettling in New York over the last 20 years or so have been a burden, not a benefit to the state. Well, duh, it took 20 years to figure that out. Okay, y'all sharp, man. I don't want to say this. You're right. How many million? There's at least 30 million in this country that are illegal. And that's not just been over Biden's regime. That's been coming for a long time. What are you going to do with them? I mean, you're just going to give them off if you can find them, ship back across the border. What are you going to do with them? And how are you going to stop them now?
Yeah.
Wow.
No, what they're going to do is continue to give taxpayers money to them. That's what they're going to do. And then you're going to wonder why Social Security, Medicaid, and Medicare run out. Well, because it's going to them with fiat dollars. But at least it's taken from, you know, other social to pay them. And that's what's, it's just bizarre. But and who asks any of these questions? No one.
That's very true. They won't ask those questions. No, they won't. Those are hardball questions. You can't ask that. These are the dirtiest cities in America. I hate to read these kind of articles because it shows what America once was and what it's become now. Baltimore is the dirtiest city in the United States. A new study from House Fresh is laid out this week. The city received 47,295 complaints over the course of the last 365 days, according to the analysis. The same study found that Milwaukee is the cleanest city in America, with only 309 complaints over the same period of time. Riverside is not far behind, the study showed, with just 1,609 complaints. The study found that 21,213 is the dirtiest individual zip code in Baltimore. 21213 is the dirtiest zip code in Baltimore, with 89,391 complaints about sanity issues. The cleanest zip code in America is Houston, 77546, which had just 19 sanitary-related complaints. Houston had 5 of the 6 fewest complaint zip codes in the city, while Baltimore had 7 out of 10 dirtiest. Analysts looked at the 12.3 million sanitation-related 311 complaints in a series of U.S. cities as part of its methodology. From there, it calculated the number of these complaints per 100,000 per capita, both on sea level and on zip code level, before ranking the cities based on zip codes and complaint density. Baltimore was in close company with Sacramento and Charlotte, who's also a dirty city. Folks, like you get in Charlotte. then came L.A., Memphis, and Boston. Gee, isn't that wonderful to know? Dirtiest cities over sanitation. Our infrastructure.
So San Francisco wasn't even on there.
No. If it's worse, San Francisco is pretty bad.
Yeah. From what we see, yeah.
I mean, sanitation problems.
And New infrastructure. York.
Yeah, New York, yes. The sanitation problems of this country, because the infrastructure has been neglected, are only going to get worse. And it's amazing to me they keep raising taxes on citizens and putting money in everything else but infrastructure. So there you go.
That's true. It's very true.
Russia will not stop fighting until complete obliteration of Zelensky government, says top Putin ally. Russia will not cease its war with Ukraine until the Zelensky government is completely obliterated and destroyed to the ground, Chief Putin ally Dmitry Medvedev declared. The bellicose former Russian president seemingly expanded the mission of Moscow's euphemistically termed special military operation in Ukraine to full-on regime change in Kyiv. Writing on the personal telegram channel, Medvedev said that Russia must not stop until the current inherently terrorist Ukrainian state is completely dismantled. It must be destroyed to the ground, rather so that even the ashes from it did not remain, so that this abomination could never, under any circumstances, be reborn, the current deputy chairman of Security Council of Russia continued. Medvedev said that what Moscow is willing to continue the fight for years or even decades in order to destroy the hostile political regime. The Putin ally cast a war as an existential conflict from Russia, saying that it is a war for self-preservation, and that it is either them or us. Doesn't sound to me like it's wrapping up, ain't it? Does you, Melody?
No, it doesn't. Not at all.
And Robert F. Kennedy, I want you to think about him, but he makes some sense sometimes, some real sense. Now, he's a Democrat, but he's not a Democrat, the modern-day Democrat. I think he's more of an old-fashioned type of Democrat. Robert F. Kennedy, Jr., thinks the West provoked Russian President Vladimir Putin to invade Ukraine, and he's right, we did. According to the Democratic presidential candidate, the public was presented with a comic book depiction that can be seen in every war. There's a good guy, there's a bad guy who's like, you know, unspeakably evil, who's planning world conquest or a terrorist attack on America, and we have to be the good guys and go in and stop it, he said during an explosive interview with Tucker Carlson on Monday, August 14th. The West promised Russia to not move the North Atlantic Treaty Organization 1 inch to the east in 1992. But it was broken just 5 years later. The alliance went on to move not 1 inch, but 1,000 miles, adding 14 countries, RFK Jr. said. This included putting nuclear-ready missile launchers that can take Tomahawk missiles into Poland and Romania. From this proximity, we could in 12 minutes decapitate the entire leadership of Russia. The move to bring Ukraine to NATO proved to be the last straw that forced Russia into action. He said bringing Ukraine to NATO was a clear red line for Russia, which repeatedly warned it would do this. So I can't blame him. We did it. We did it. Melody?
No, I have nothing else to say to that.
I mean, we covered this before and said the same thing, didn't we?
Mm-hmm. We did. Yep.
And it's absolutely so sad to see this falling apart like this. The next major war is reportedly about to begin, and D-Day has already been chosen. This is Michael Snyder, by the way. Not another one. As I repeatedly warn my readers, leaders all over the globe seem to have it come down with a really bad case of war fever. Instead of sitting down and attempting to find solutions through diplomacy, many of our leaders seem quite eager to use military force to settle matters these days. There's no peaceful end to the war in Ukraine on the horizon. China is making preparations to invade Taiwan. And the shadow war in the Middle East could easily erupt into a full-blown regional conflict. But in this article, I'm going to focus on the next war that is reportedly about to begin. A group of nations in Western Africa known as ECOWAS is prepared to invade Niger with the approval of the EU and the Biden administration, and CNN is reporting that D-Day has already been chosen. The West African regional bloc, ECOWAS, says it has chosen an undisclosed D-Day for a possible military intervention to restore Niger's democratically elected president following last month's coup. Abdel Fattah Moussa, a commissioner for political affairs, peace, and security of economic community of West African states, said the military forces are ready to go anytime the order is given for military intervention in Niger. The D-Day is already decided, which we're not going to disclose. Moussa told journalists after the two-day meeting of West African defense chiefs in the Ghanaian capital of Accra. Moussa went on to ominously declare that his alliance will not put up with any more coups in Niger and that they are putting a stop to it at this time. The commissioner said the bloc had decided that the coup in Niger is one coup too many for the region, adding that there will be no further meetings of ECOWAS defense chiefs on this issue. "We're putting a stop to it at this time," Moussa said in his concluding remarks. But most people in the Western world don't realize is that there is a lot more to this story than we are being told. For decades, puppet politicians have allowed wealthy Western nations to greatly exploit Niger. It has vast quantities of gold and uranium, but the vast majority of the population of Niger continue to live in complete and utter poverty. We're about out of time, folks, but this coup is popular in Niger, so I don't know what's going to happen with this, but they say they're not going to do it. And the United States has 1,100 troops in Niger already. Why? We'll be there just to help again. Are interested in Niger? I don't know, folks. These nations have been used up like an old rag and then tossed in a trash can. That's just the way it is. We've done it for many years, and America's part of it. About out of time, Elle. Do you want to take us out?
All righty, 1-800-375-4188. Give us a call here at Discount Gold and Silver Trading. We got some great prices, and we have great shipping. So you just need to pick up that telephone. And we'll be back tomorrow. And so until then, have a great evening, good night, and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all.
Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? Theparamol.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure, but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-81.